Tomorrow, we will have our Passion of the Lord at 3 p.m. And then in the evening, we will also pray the Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m. And I'll offer kind of a last chance confessions for anyone who's interested before the Stations and then after the Stations. So confessions tomorrow before 7 o'clock and after Stations at 7 o'clock. Tonight, we get to truly celebrate a great gift, the gift of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. What we do every day, in particular every Sunday, we remember tonight on Holy Thursday, 2,000 years after the Last Supper. Because it was at the Last Supper that Jesus instituted the ultimate and perfect sacrifice, the ultimate and perfect form of worship that we are able to offer God. From the beginning of time, people have always tried to worship their Creator. It's hardwired into us as creatures to try to communicate, to appease, to try to be in communion with our Creator. It's an act of justice just for the creature to owe the Creator worship. Plutarch, in the first century A.D., a historian at that time, he said, quote, "You may find cities without walls, cities without literature, cities without the arts and sciences of a civilized life, but a people without God, without prayers, without religious oaths, without religious rites, without sacrifices, is nowhere to be seen." Plutarch is recognized, looking at the world, that there's something about the human person that every group of people have had priests offering sacrifices. Now, in some horrific ways at times, we know the Aztecs, for example, human sacrifice, not good, but they were trying to do something that was hardwired in them, offering their Creator worship. God revealed to the Israelites slowly, as we heard in our first reading, how he wanted to be worshipped, particularly the Passover sacrifice of the lamb. And there's many other sacrifices that the Israelites offered. And now in Jesus, what we celebrate tonight, God gives us the definitive sacrifice to be offered. No other sacrifice will be instituted other than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's what happened at the Last Supper. Again, it wasn't just the Eucharist to be consumed as sacrament, but first and foremost, the Eucharist to be offered as a sacrifice to the Father, a sacrifice that contains the power of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. Jesus gave us the sacrifice his Father wanted to be offered. He gave us a way of representing, making present his once and for all sacrifice on Calvary. Look at it this way. If you have a water tower, Cloquet used to have a water tower, and in that water tower was stored all this water. But that water needs to get to us somehow for actually to be of any meaning to us, to actually be a benefit to us. So you have to have pipes coming to your homes, for example. The same goes for the Mass, for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He won for us infinite merits, blessings, and graces. But it's all just sitting there unless we tap into it. And it's through the sacraments, especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that we have access to those graces and blessings that Jesus won for us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how blessed we are. God has given us the most perfect worship. We don't have to make it up on our own. Jesus has shown us how God is to be worshipped. We do that as Catholics at every Mass. Now, I have a question for us all, maybe a little trivia question. Are all Masses created equal? Are all Masses created equal? In one sense, yes, right? The intrinsic sense. Every Mass is of infinite value because it is the unbloody representation of Christ's self-sacrifice on the cross. So in one sense, every Mass is equal. But in another sense, no, they are not all created equally. We can call this the extrinsic sense. The extrinsic sense has to do with how efficacious the Mass is, how meritorious is the Mass in bringing down God's blessings and graces upon His people. In a word, not all Masses get as much water from the water tower. Some Masses are more efficacious than others. They merit greater graces than others. And this efficaciousness of the Mass, if you will, depends on a few factors. First, it depends on the holiness of the Church overall at a particular time in history. Right? Because every Mass is offered by the entire mystical body of Christ. So it depends on the overall holiness of the Catholic Church throughout the world. The holier the Pope, the holier the bishops, priests, laity, mean a particular Mass is more efficacious. Second, it depends on who is offering the Mass in respect to the degree of holy orders, whether that's a priest or a bishop. So a Mass offered by a bishop having the fullness of holy orders is more efficacious, everything else being equal. Third, it depends on who's offering the Mass in respect to the holiness of the one offering the Mass. We read in Scripture by St. James, "The prayer of the righteous man availeth much." As prayers from holier people are more efficacious, the same goes for the Mass. While a Mass may be valid, have infinite intrinsic value again, even if the priest is in mortal sin, a Mass said by a holier priest will have greater extrinsic value. It will be more efficacious and merit greater blessings on himself and the faithful. This condition also includes the particular reverence that a particular priest has at the Mass. Why do you think everyone wanted to go to the Mass of Padre Pio? His reverence, but also his holiness. The Masses that Padre Pio was able to offer just won an enormous amount of grace and blessings on the Church and the people present. Fourth, the extrinsic value of the Mass depends on the holiness of the faithful who are present at the Mass as well. That's you. Just as the holiness of the priest affects the efficacy of the Mass, so does the holiness of all of you. It depends on the reverence shown by all of you as well. The holiness and reverence of the deacon, the servers, the sacristan, the readers, the singers, the organist, the ushers, everyone in the pew can bring about greater or lesser amount of grace depending on our own personal holiness. I think that makes sense intuitively if we just do this thought experiment. If we have a Mass with a priest who doesn't teach the truth, lives a double life, have a church full of people who reject church teaching, who haven't been to confession in years, don't go to Mass every Sunday, versus a Mass with a priest who has supernatural faith, prays and strives for holiness in his personal life, a church full of people open to life, generous with their time, talent, and treasure, loving their neighbor as themselves, seeking a real deep prayer, a deep, intimate prayer life with the Lord, truly seeking to become saints, we have to say that that latter Mass would be more efficacious. Finally, the graces from a Mass depend on the decora. Decora. Decora is the word we get decorate from. Decora simply means the fittingness of a thing, all the externals, the decora most fitting for the Mass. So yes, the vestments matter. The sacred vessels matter. The sacred space matters. The sacred music. The silence. How you all dress matters. What is the most fitting way to come dressed to Mass? Consider all the smells and bells. Everything matters. This is why we continue to make our Masses, especially our Sunday morning Mass, as solemn and full of solemnity as possible. That's why we're singing more of the Mass as the church asks of us. And again, tonight, for this night only, we'll again offer Mass ad orientem. I believe this is the most fitting way to offer the Mass, as it best signifies the reality that is taking place, that we're offering a sacrifice to God the Father, that we're not just an enclosed group, but we're offering a sacrifice to God the Father. Ad orientem worship helps us realize that the Mass isn't about us, but about God. The priest, as mediator, faces the people when he's talking on behalf of God to the people. But when he's talking on behalf of the people to God, he faces the other direction. I also think this idea of fitting decorum makes sense. Right? If we just set up a card table, for example, in the rectory basement, we don't use any sacred vestments. We use a plastic cup and a plastic plate. We don't have any servers. We don't sing anything. The Mass may be valid, but it's not hard to see that that Mass wouldn't merit as much grace as the beautiful Mass we're offering this evening. Just this afternoon, I received another call about another person deciding to have their funeral just at the funeral home. I will continue to preach about the Mass and how beautiful, how important it is to have Masses for funerals, to come to Mass, not miss Mass on Sundays, until everyone gets it. It's so sad when I hear that about someone dying and choosing just to do something at the funeral home. They're missing out on the great graces and blessings that come from the holy sacrifice of the Mass that Christ instituted 2,000 years ago on Holy Thursday. My friends, on this sacred night, during which we remember the institution of the new covenant, a new worship, a new sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, may we first of all, each and every one of us, seek greater and greater holiness in our personal lives. Let us strive to become saints. May we continue to exercise great reverence at Mass. And may our decora, all the externals at Mass, become more and more fitting and give greater and greater glory to God. Let's offer God our best. And in doing so, may the Mass we offer be more efficacious and merit greater graces upon you, your families, and our parish.